Well, a couple of weeks ago, I was thinking about a Christmas message, what I should preach today. And I planned to mention Chris Rea's driving home for Christmas. And then, of course, sadly this week, he died, which perhaps makes it all the more poignant. But driving home for Christmas, the story of a weary traveller making his way home in heavy traffic. And it's one of the nation's favourite Christmas songs. Why? Well, because Christmas and home belong together. And what could be better than driving home for Christmas? So why do Christmas and home belong together? Well, they speak of the same things, don't they? They speak of welcome and reassurance and belonging, and they speak of love. One of the most famous broadcasters of the 20th century was Malcolm Muggeridge. And after Cambridge University, he concluded, perhaps surprisingly, that intellect and reason are not the answer. So he went to the Soviet Union and he saw through Joseph Stalin and concluded that communism is not the answer. So he went to India and after 3 years was convinced that religion is not the answer. So learning, politics, religion are not the answer. So what then is the answer? Well, maybe there is no answer. Well, the Second World War intervened. He was posted to Mozambique to monitor enemy shipping. And one day, just overwhelmed by that sense of the meaningless and emptiness of life, he decided that he would take his own life. So he swam out into the ocean to end it all. As he swam, he turned round and saw the lights of the little town he'd left behind. And as he saw those lights, something inside him stirred. Shining in the gloom, they seemed to him like the lights of home. The lights of home calling him back. And so he swam back, and it was a life saved by the light of home. A sense of home. Something deep-rooted in us, isn't it? We all feel it. If you like, we're all looking for a light that's shining in the gloom. There's an old African-American spiritual. Sometimes I feel like a motherless child a long way from home. Home, the desire, the longing to feel loved and wanted and safe. It's a universal experience, isn't it? You felt it. I felt it. And if that longing for home in Malcolm Muggeridge was kindled by a light shining in the gloom, isn't it interesting that that very symbolism is used to speak of Jesus coming into the world? A light shining in the gloom, a light shining in the darkness. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them a light has shone. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. John takes it up in his gospel when he speaks of Jesus Christ coming into the world. He says, the light shines in the darkness. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. I mean, I did in our reading, didn't we? There's an angel appears to the shepherds. What time of day is it? It's night. And when the angel appears, there is light shining in the darkness. And the star which the wise men followed. Again, what is it? It's light shining in the darkness. Light that calls us back. Light that's calling us home. It's telling us something. It's headlining something. It's saying that Jesus was born to bring us home. He was born to answer that deepest longing that's in all our souls, the longing to be loved, wanted, safe, welcomed. The light of home shining in the darkness. Jesus told a story. It's one of perhaps some of the most famous stories he told. It's known sometimes as the prodigal son or the lost son. and it's a story about home. And it begins with a son who leaves home, a son who initiates a family breakup, a son who says to his dad, I can't hang around for you to die before I get my inheritance. So give me my inheritance, give me my share now. And so the father gives him his share, he turns it into cash, and then this son, he leaves home, and he leaves home without ever any intention of ever coming back. He's burning his bridges. And so he goes about as far away from home as he possibly can. Jesus says he goes to a far country. And there this young man has a riot, because he's young, he's free, and he's rich, and therefore he can have whatever his heart desires, and that's what he has. Whatever he wants, he has. Only to find that actually, that's not how life works. And the money runs out, and in the story he ends up penniless and friendless and hungry. And says Jesus, no one gave him anything. The taker discovers that actually it's a world of takers. Well, to stave off starvation, he gets a job feeding pigs. And as if things couldn't get any worse, he discovers that the pigs are better fed than he is. But there in the pigsty, far from home, he comes to his senses. He starts to think to himself, thinks, well, back home, my dad's hired hands have plenty to eat. And here am I, I'm starving. So I know what I'll do. I'll go home. But if I go home, there's no way that Dad will welcome me back as a son. But, and he has a little prepared speech, prepared for his homecoming, what he's going to say to his father, and to quote Jesus, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And so off he goes. Returns home. But after he has so wronged his father and rejected his love, will his father welcome him back? Will his father welcome him home? Will his father welcome him without there being any recriminations? Well, says Jesus, while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion. And ran to meet him. And when the father and the son meet, his father hugs him and holds him and kisses his son. And the son never gets to finish his little prepared speech because he's not welcomed back as a hired hand. He's welcomed back as a son, a much missed son, a much loved son, a son the father's never stopped loving. And he's welcomed back with no recriminations and no account of the extravagance. They kill the fatted calf and they celebrate. And the father who's never stopped loving his son, the tender-hearted father, he says, for this my son was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. It's the ultimate homecoming, isn't it? It's like the best Christmas ever. It's a story that Jesus told. And he tells it to you and to me. Because that son is me. And if I'm the son, then God in Jesus Christ is that tender-hearted father. Says the Bible, I've walked out on God. I've treated God in ways that would wreck any relationship. I've gone from him as far as I possibly can. I've gone to the far country with no intention of ever coming back. And actually, I've squandered all that God has given me on myself. And I thought, if I live for myself, I'll be happy and free and secure. But actually, it doesn't work out like that. Far from God, far from home, I discover that living for myself, I'm unclean, unsatisfied, and longing for something more, longing to be welcomed, longing to be loved unconditionally. And there's that sense, I can't even enjoy the good times because I know the good times won't last. I'm insecure. Why? Because I'm far from home. But Jesus, that light shining in the darkness, Jesus has come to bring us home, to bring us back to God. Which, of course, means that he has to clear up the mess and pay our debts. Which is why he's treated as the outcast and the stranger and the prodigal. That's why even at his birth, where is he laid? He's laid in a manger. Why? Because there was no room for them in the inn. He's treated as an outcast even in his birth. But of course, he will go to a cross where the Son who had never sinned, the beloved Son who always pleased his Father, there on that cross, he died for our sins. He takes the blame. There's a sense in which the cross is the ultimate far country where, bearing my sin, God exiled his beloved Son to the farthest reaches of reality and beyond, to the outer darkness. But on the cross, having righted my wrongs and paid my debts in his own blood, it all means we can come home, come back, come home to God. If I return, what sort of welcome can I expect? Will God send the religious police to arrest me? Will I have to put in one anxious performance after another, like a hired hand, hoping in the end that God will accept me? Well, what sort of welcome did that prodigal son get? And that's Jesus' point. This morning, however much I've messed up, however far from God I am, however much I think to myself, well, I don't do God, or maybe I'm here under sufferance, when we turn to Jesus Christ, when we come home to God, when we say, Father, I've sinned against you, God himself, he runs to meet us. No recriminations, no condemnation. On the contrary, he lavishes his love upon us. And he welcomes us home as a child to live with him forever. Our tender-hearted God. When that son came home, how do you think he felt? Unsafe? Unloved? Unsatisfied? Did he feel unwelcome? Was he living in fear of his father? His homecoming was like the best Christmas ever. Driving home for Christmas. And so this morning, what are you waiting for? Why perish in the far country? Maybe it's time that today you came home. Time to come home. Time to come back to God. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. That means it's news for you this morning. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord.